Today is Saturday, April 6th, 2019, and this...
The neon of Las Vegas is... It's the cherry on top. It is a truly magical city.
This is Neon at its best.
Is 500 by Midnight, the original Las Vegas podcast, show number 687.
Las Vegas Neon!
Just thinking of all the amazing times that we've had here in Las Vegas.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate. I do wish that for you.
We're gonna give Daddy the Rain Man suite. Do you dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! You think we get there by midnight?
Money, we're gonna be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
Las Vegas is waiting.
Hello, everybody. This is Tim.
And this is Michelle.
Welcome to 500 by Midnight. How are you doing this evening?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm a little...
congested.
Yeah.
Boo.
Dealing with allergy shit. I'm a little off, but that's okay.
It's never stopped you before.
No.
I feel like I'm a little loud. Am I a little loud?
I don't know what's going on. Yeah, let me turn you down a little bit.
Okay.
How's that?
Better.
Okay. All right. So we got a podcast for you people tonight. We're going to talk about Vegas because that's what we do, damn it. Got a lot of news.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're going to discuss.
And you have some thoughts.
I do have some thoughts. It's good to have thoughts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Before we get into it, I want to mention that on next week's show, you should tune in because you will have a chance to win a $100 Amazon gift card.
Yay.
So that's cool, right? Free stuff. And it's mm-hmm. easy, and you don't have to go through any significant effort to be in the running for that. So check back next week for that. I love giving away things. All right. This podcast is listener supported by our Patreon patrons. They include such folks as Glenn Farrell, David Decker, Kate McGinnis, Ray Shaw, Frank Schwab, Brett with one T, and Christopher Alvarez. Thank you to these and all of our Patreon patrons. We do appreciate your support. If you want to support the show on a monthly basis, we throw some bonus content your way once in a while as our way of saying thank you. You can visit patreon.com/500 for all the details. Alrighty, so let's just jump right in. This week brought some interesting information. Reservations are now available for the they're undergoing renovations. The soon-to-be newly renovated rooms at Binion's, the Apache Hotel at Binion's. We discussed this extensively when they announced they were going to be reopening some of their rooms. So if you've not heard that, you might want to listen to that for a full description of the rooms, but... A brief recap, they're very small rooms.
Mm-hmm.
There's 81 of them.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the low-rise building on the corner of Las Vegas Boulevard and Main 3rd? I don't remember what the cross street is.
It's not 3rd, it's not Main.
Okay, Las Vegas Boulevard?
Nope.
I don't know what the fuck street it is. Casino Center Drive.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Possibly.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's the low rise rooms, and they are located behind the marquee of the casino. So the windows in the room are not functional as actual windows. They're mm-hmm. just decorative. And they have I believe they have like old window unit air. How do the window unit air conditioners work if they're not
actual windows? I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway,
we have a lot of questions.
They're supposed to be vintage-style rooms made to look like the era that that hotel was open in, which is like mm-hmm. the 1930s. I'm underwhelmed by the room design. But I thought, well, it's something that they'll be presumably adding rooms to the lower end of the room rate spectrum, which never happens. Mm-hmm. It's always the upper end. But with this room product, you couldn't possibly do that because it's not a premier... deluxe room, you know, room product.
Don't tell them that they couldn't do that.
So it turns out that the people running Binion's are highly delusional.
Mm-hmm.
They announced the room rates this week. They're on their website and they're standard. They don't fluctuate much. There's a couple days like New Year's Eve where they're elevated super ridiculously high. But generally, beginning on August 14th, when these rooms are available, The rate for weeknights is $99, and for weekends, $199.
All right, just get the hell out of here. I got a goddamn okay, then I quit as your son.
Yeah, so that's happening. I love that Cape Fear clip. So this makes them, and obviously I've got to think the rates will drop because I can't believe that demand.
Anyone would pay this.
I can't believe demand would be that high for the rooms at that rate. But this would make them among the most expensive rooms in downtown, which is nutty as fuck.
That is ridiculous.
Who the fuck made this decision? I'm sure somebody said, oh, you know what? People go nuts for the newest room product. We're going to be able to charge a premium for these. Plus, they're really playing up the haunted angle, which...
No.
Really? If you're going to pay $100 to stay in a room because it's supposedly haunted, what are you, 12? Do you believe in the fucking tooth fairy, too? Jesus Christ, people. All right. So... Much like Binion's sister property, Four Queens, there is no resort fee. You don't need one because they're charging way more than you would if you had a reasonably priced room and a resort fee. Here's how the rates compare. And I have a special thank you to Stephen Brown, a.k.a. VespaJet. He did a little research and posted it on the Facebook group. And I'm going to, with proper credit, use his information.
Okay.
So he took the chunk of dates around the summit, which is our live event coming up in October. So plugging in October 9th through 14th, and this is all in, including resort fees for the properties that have them. This is what we're looking at for room rates downtown. Mm-hmm. Four Queens, the sister property of Binion's, is the lowest at $457.
Okay.
El Cortez, and this is for their basic, most basic room. El Cortez, $519. Golden Gate, $520. Plaza, $652. Downtown Grand, $663. The D at $700. Binion's at $785. There it is, the new Binion's room, $785. And Golden Nugget is the only one above it at $909. To try to price yourself, like, second to Golden Nugget...
I'm confused.
It is weird. I just can't understand how. And like I said, the room rates, obviously demand always alters the room rates. So the question is, how long is it going to take for the room rates to plunge?
Mm-hmm.
And then what will they end up landing at when it eventually settles in after? So they'll knock them down like $10-$20 or something, and you know, to see if people bite. I'm guessing it's going to take like weeknight $29 or $39, weekends maybe $59. Who the fuck is running this place? Oh, and also if you go to the Binion's website, they don't even have a link to register to it. They don't have any of the hotel stuff online. This was posted on Twitter and Facebook almost a week ago, and they still haven't put up a link to the hotel stuff. They're still pushing people to Four Queens for rooms. Like, you don't have somebody on staff who can update your website?
Oh, my God.
I know. It's a rinky-dink operation over there. I don't know. I just don't get it. So, inevitably, if somebody does stay in one of these rooms, if somebody's going to shell out the $100 or $200, I beg you to call with a review.
An episode of Ghost Hunters.
First of all, to justify your decisions in life to pay that much for one of the rooms. I mean, even out of curiosity.
I have my limits.
Yeah. I'm wondering how long it'll be before they show up as freebies in the Binion's Casino app. That would be the one way that I would book one of these. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I've already been not feeling great about Binion's because they've run the place. It's not a great place anymore, and it's sad. But, you know, we've had hopes for a long time. So they'll open up the hotel rooms eventually. Things will there will be an upswing. But then they make a stupid decision, like trying to price them at a premium.
No.
I don't get it.
Like, are they, like, do they think the name Binion's is worth
I think they're that really, much? I think they are really playing up. My guess is they think because it's the newest room and because they have this haunted angle. That's the only thing I can guess.
Huh.
I don't know. So that's happening. If you've if you've signed up for, if you've already, you know, made reservations, please let us know when, you know, when you've stayed there. I'm sure we'll be flooded with reviews come August 14th. Yeah. All right. So that's what's going on at Binion's. There is some work that is going to be done off strip to convert the Hard Rock Hotel to Virgin Hotels Las Vegas. That has been delayed, according to the Review Journal. Management and ownership of that property have announced the transition will now begin in February 2020 rather than this fall. Previously, plans called for opening in April 2020. Now they're pushing that back to November of 2020. However, in the meantime, they are making some changes at Hard Rock. I don't know if any of these will stick around. Or I get the feeling that they might just be temporary through the end of the Hard Rock. Culinary Dropout, which was a restaurant that got some pretty good reviews, that is now gone. It has been rebranded. They didn't even really shut down. I think they just slapped a new sign on it and mixed up the menu a little bit. It has been rebranded as Craft Plus Community Bar and Grill.
Do they have community seating?
I don't know. I hate that when they have community or social in the name.
Mm-hmm.
That does not make me want to go there.
No, no.
Can I have a solitary bar and grill?
Mm-hmm.
Just like the smallest, most confined, not even small, just a confined hidden booth in the corner. That would make me happy. Also, the pool and day club, previously rehab.
Uh-huh.
I don't have the sound effect. Is That's now okay. Breathe Pool Lounge.
Breathe Pool Lounge.
I was really hoping you would do that. It doesn't really quite have the same ring.
It does
as
not have
rehab.
The same ring at all.
So I believe that's the name they're sticking with only through the Hard Rock era, and then they will make it into something else when it becomes Virgin Hotels. So there you go. That's what's happening. A little bit of a delay.
It would be weird to have a bunch of people, you know, how they used to yell rehab on things.
Yelling breathe?
Breathe.
I know.
I mean, has there been a drowning? Has somebody passed out? What's going on?
First responders are swarming every time the cameras are on.
Yeah.
That would be horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there you go. There is a new attraction coming to MGM Grand this May. It is based on the books and movie series The Hunger Games, and it is called The Hunger Games, The Exhibition.
That's a fitting name.
It really seems to make sense, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
This is being put together by the same company that runs Avengers Station at Treasure Island, which apparently is still open. So this exhibition features, according to the announcement, which, by the way, none of this information is on the website. The only thing they have on there is a countdown until it opens, which is like 26 days or something.
Mm-hmm.
But you think you might want to put some promotional materials on there other than... But anyway, this comes out of the official announcement. It will feature several inspirational galleries, including the Hall of Justice, President Snow's office, the Tribute Train, and District 13. An archery training experience set within a 60-foot-wide interactive digital training lab, which is a climactic highlight of the exhibition. So I guess you're going to get to learn how to shoot bows and arrows?
I guess.
Well, you shoot arrows from bows. You don't shoot the bows.
No, not if you're doing it correctly.
Anyway, costumes. Well, that's why you take the class, so you learn to do it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
I was, not knowing.
Mm-hmm.
I would fuck it up. I'd probably shoot myself in the chest, and
that would be bad.
Costumes, genuine props, and set recreations. In the release, they used immersive 5 times, so I guess it's going to be a great.
Oh, wow.
A great thing. No pricing has been announced yet, just the countdown on the website. I'm guessing, like $49 probably, and then they'll have easily accessible discounts. That's my guess.
Hmm.
I don't know what they price like CSI. I thought this might be replacing CSI Experience, but they're still selling tickets for that through the end of the year, so I think that's still going to be around. If you want to look at their countdown clock, eventually there will be useful information at thehungergamesexhibition.com. Is this still popular enough for this exhibition to matter?
I don't know. I think this exhibition is coming after the peak of interest in the Hunger Games.
That would have been like, 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Probably.
I think.
Around the time the last one came out, maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems a little bit delayed. But who knows? These people seem to know. They've toured it. So that's probably what's been going on during the most popular era. And now they were just looking for a place to throw all the stuff now that the touring show is done. I don't know. So they're going to give it a go in Las Vegas, and if you're a big fan of Katniss and the I don't know anybody else's name from that movie.
Katniss, Peeta, Primrose.
I have seen all three, and I couldn't tell you any other name other than Katniss. So there you go. That is happening in May at MGM Grand.
Trying to remember who the other love interest is, but I can't.
I can I don't know. Anyway. Moving along, down at the Link, there is a new comedy club that is going to be opening soon. It is Jimmy Kimmel's Comedy Club. He has been in Las Vegas for the past week, broadcasting from Planet Hollywood, and as part of that, he announced the opening date of that comedy club. It will be May 2nd. Now, I was kind of hoping for some big names in the initial announcement. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, holy shit, this is going to be a real deal. They're getting, you know, bringing in Amy Schumer for a couple nights or, you know, somebody.
Yeah.
It's like a typical Vegas comedy club lineup, mostly with people you haven't heard of. So the biggest name is opening weekend, and that's Harland Williams, the guy from Drop Dead Fred.
Oh,
I know. Okay. It's like, not my cup of tea, but he has a successful comedy career. The other names, I don't know any of these people. Fahim Anwar, John Heffron, Beth Stelling, and Gina Brillen.
Hmm.
And that runs through like June or something, mid-June. So I know they're maybe going to have some guests drop in and things like that, but as far as the actual promoted lineup, it's like the same as when one day I looked at the lineup for, it wasn't Brad Garrett's club, it was one of the other ones. Oh, the Comedy Cellar over at Rio. And similar thing. It's like, oh, they have like four comics on the schedule, and I recognize one of the names.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because it's Brian Regan's brother, Dennis. So anyway, if you're looking for a new comedy club, it's coming to Link very soon. It'll probably do well because of the location.
Mm-hmm. I have enjoyed the things I've seen so far of Jimmy Kimmel in Vegas.
Yeah, it's been entertaining. Got to see a lot of the city,
mm-hmm.
some amusing stuff. So
we need to watch the one with Celine.
I suppose we do, don't we? Mm-hmm. I hear that she crashes a wedding.
Ooh.
So that should be entertaining. All righty. The ongoing saga downtown Las Vegas at Beauty Bar continues, but this is probably the last time we'll be reporting on it. It has closed for real this time. The Las Vegas City Council yanked the bar's liquor license.
Kind of hard to run a bar without one of those.
Yeah, and then the official real eviction notice went up as well. So they are done. It is gone. This all results from a lot of police calls over improper activities, apparently. No details yet on what will replace Beauty Bar and its neighboring space, which is also vacant. Don't Tell Mama was there. There's been speculation in some of the articles that there is an interested party for a combined space in both of those. So we'll see what goes in there. Hopefully it's something unique and not a Hardee's. I would hate for Fremont East.
Yeah, we've got a Denny's and a White Castle. We're going to have a Taco Bell cantina. And,
yeah, I know. Yeah. I hope that Fremont East remains a little different, so time will tell. There's a new bar and restaurant coming to the Miracle Mile Shops at Planet Hollywood, according to Eater. It is called, Flights. And it's taking over the vacant Cheeseburger Las Vegas space. That's been empty for a while. That restaurant closed a while ago. The only reason I even know Cheeseburger Las Vegas is it's one of the places that was battling for the cheap breakfast crowd for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But it is no more. The new restaurant will have an executive chef from Beauty in Essex over at Cosmo. So, yeah, some pretty decent food, probably.
Yep. Ooh, bring back the French onion soup dumplings. That'll get me back there.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what kind of food they're planning on having. It's supposed to open at the end of June. There's an aviation theme that involves servers wearing in-flight uniforms. And this seems like a really stupid idea because who the hell likes flying? And I'm not saying like fear of flying.
Right. Just it's not an enjoyable experience.
No, you're crammed into a fucking sky bus. It's not.
You're crammed into an aluminum fart tube.
That exactly. It's not glamorous or glorious or anything wonderful like it once was. So why would you theme something after a thing that everybody who's in town, other than locals and the people who drove in from California and Arizona, most of the people in town
have taken a plane to get there.
Fuck, I'm here, it's a great time, but I had to endure that miserable fucking experience of getting here.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're going to go dine at a restaurant that's themed around that miserable experience.
Are they going to make it like the Britney Spears Toxic video, though? Where
they're like hot?
Yeah.
Old-timey uniforms?
Yeah.
I doubt it. Maybe, we'll see. That might be something.
Okay,
you've changed my mind.
All right. Because that's the first thing I thought of after I read through your...
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. It opens in June. We can find out from if anybody goes there, they can tell us. Or we can. The odds of me going to a restaurant in a mall are pretty slim, but.
Oh, we know.
If the menu looks really good, maybe we'll go.
Mm-hmm.
All right, some entertainment news. Barry Manilow is sticking around at Westgate for a while. His show, The Hits Come Home, will be around at least through October. because his contract has been extended. So congratulations, Barry. Down at Excalibur, the news is not so good. You might recall a while back we discussed a couple new tent shows coming to Las Vegas. They were putting up, this was in like January, we discussed this, January or February, that, actually maybe it was earlier than that. When were we in Vegas last?
January.
Okay, January, because it was around that time.
I know, it seems longer, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was around that time that we saw them putting up the tent at the Stratosphere. We'll get to that in a minute. At Excalibur, there was a show that opened called Fuerza Brute, mm-hmm. And it was announced for a six-month run, and it's closing tomorrow after only 1 month. It opened on March 7th. It is closing on April 7th. Apparently, the draw of a show in a tent has not stretched beyond absinthe.
Mm-hmm.
This thing had lots. It's hard to explain. I watched a trailer of it a while ago. It has a lot of acrobatics and just weird shit happening, like above the audience and around through the audience. I think the audience gets shuffled throughout the tent from place to place, depending on where the action is located.
Okay.
Kind of a weird thing. A little too interactive for my taste. Yeah. But
you mean I have to move?
Yeah. It's
and you have to stand, right?
Yeah.
I'm not.
No, I know. So,
I mean, I barely make it to general admission shows anymore.
It's true.
Yeah.
So that show is closing tomorrow. We don't have to worry about ever seeing it. The other show that I mentioned at Stratosphere called Celestia, I thought, well, I wonder, I haven't heard much about that lately.
Mm-hmm.
When we last discussed it, they had delayed the opening from the end of January to the end of February.
Mm-hmm. However, is it open yet?
No. Nope. Upon looking at the website, now they're showing May 1st as the first show. However, no tickets are on sale for May 1st or beyond. I'm starting to think the fate of Celestia, it might be the next Viva Veracruz.
Mm-hmm.
It might close without opening. That would be even bigger than Viva Veracruz to construct its own structure to have and then not open. That would be magnificent. I mean, I don't wish.
No.
But yeah, it's kind of it's fun when things new happen, you know, even if they're colossal failures.
Mm-hmm.
If it does open, I don't know. I'm thinking 3 weeks. This is another, I think there's just a lot of acrobatics and shit happening. There's a lot of those shows in Vegas. That's the thing. It's like,
how do you compete for people's attention?
Exactly. And how do you set yourself apart when you're doing something that's like a Cirque-esque kind of performance? Yeah. People are going to always, it's like, oh, it's Cirque, but $20 cheaper and doesn't have the name recognition. They're probably going to go to the actual Cirque shows.
You want to go back and say, I saw a Cirque show. You don't want to go back and say, I saw a knockoff Cirque show in a tent in a parking lot.
I saw a tightrope walker in the Stratosphere parking lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't sound as good. So there you go. We'll keep an eye on that. And if it does open, we'll certainly report on it.
Plus, in the summer, Cirque usually has discounts. So
it's discounted a lot more often now, too. It's not even just the summer thing. Mm-hmm. It's not as hard to find. You can find discounts at the Ticks for Tonight booths on a regular basis now. I suppose at this point I should probably mention also that Marilyn, the new musical, still on summer hiatus.
Okay.
All right. Finally, this is something I want to talk about a little bit. Bellagio, you probably saw that this got so much news coverage. I had to pin a post on the Facebook group because like 400 people posted separate articles about it. There was a new Bellagio fountain show that debuted this week, and it's themed around Game of Thrones, the HBO series. Did you watch the video by chance?
I did not.
That's okay. So there's a couple things. It's only running through April 13th. It's like a two-week thing. 2 or 3 weeks, whatever. 8 p.m. and 9:30 if you're in town and want to see it. In addition to just having a fountain show with the music from Game of Thrones, they've used projection technology. So when the fountains are going up, there are images and videos that are projected onto the fountains. It looks pretty cool. In color. So at first it looks just like blue, almost like it's snowing.
Mm-hmm.
And then at one point there's flames. At one point there's like a dragon flying.
Uh-huh.
All the shit.
You love dragons.
All the reasons I don't watch Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
But it was cool. It was a pretty impressive thing just watching the video. I'm sure in person it looks even more gnarly. But there's a few issues with this that I'm interested in.
Okay.
In your perspective, I'm wondering what the Vegas nerds think about a few things. Number one is using the fountains for advertising. This is obviously HBO obviously paid for this. It has a big Game of Thrones logo on it at one point. At the end, there's a hashtag that's projected onto the fountains.
Hmm.
there's some sort of arrangement. I don't know if it was just money that changed hands or if it was just a joint agreement where they figured they're both going to get enough publicity off it. I don't know, but it's paid advertising. So what do you think about using the fountains for that purpose? Does it disturb you in any way?
It depends, because it could lead to bad things. I feel like this still has enough of an art component. Like, it's the mixture of art and commerce where... Yeah,
it does. You're right.
It's still, like, it's still entertainment, and it's not like, I don't know, like, the CES logo or something, or...
Sure. Orange Coke.
Orange Coke.
Orange Vanilla Coke.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Or, like, you know...
It doesn't have flow from Progressive.
Yeah.
Projected on, or the Geico lizard projected on the fountains.
Right, right. Like, if it were that kind of commerce, sure. I'd be a little more put off by it.
Yeah. Okay.
Because, like, it's a musical component, and they're doing something different with the fountains, which is right. interesting, too.
Yeah. I don't love the promotional aspect of it, but mm-hmm. yeah, you're right. The way that it's being done. It's pretty cool, even if it is a commercial.
Yeah.
You know, think about this. A few times a year, inevitably, some sort of amazing movie trailer comes out online. Mm-hmm. And everybody's talking about it. Everybody sees it. It was like, holy shit, that is cool. Yeah. Even if you don't end up seeing the movie. It's kind of like that.
Yeah.
So I don't have that huge of a problem. If it did get to be something where suddenly they're projecting commercials in between the regular phone shows or something, that would be...
Girls, direct to your room.
702-69-696. Yeah, that would be a little not great. Mm-hmm. Although the video that goes along with that one would be kind of fun to watch on the fountains.
How do you make fountains into boobs?
Oh, they would do it.
They would. They would find a way.
See, now I'm distracted thinking about that. Thanks for putting that in my head.
You're welcome.
The other thing, too, about commercial...
Boobs or girls direct to your room.
All of the above. You know, on the Las Vegas Strip, it's not like this is the first time there's ever been commercialization of the property's exteriors. And anything. Yeah. Look at the big convention. I think NAB is happening. Mm-hmm. Whenever CES rolls into town as well, you inevitably see a couple wraps go up on the outside of Luxor and some of the other hotels that are promoting... whatever new technology, that's not, you know, great, but it's just how things are. They can make a ton of money doing it, and the audience is there. So I think the Bellagio thing, at least, like you said, they're keeping it at least somewhat artsy and entertaining. So I'm not really down on it too much. Another area that is noteworthy is the introduction. And I think there was something else. I think they did another one of these for something that they used projection mapping. Mm-hmm. To add the light, the colored lighting and video component. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what it was, but they haven't done it often. The Bellagio fountains are 20 years old and really haven't undergone a significant upgrade in the technology they've used, which I am assuming is because it's MGM Resorts and they don't want to pay for it.
Right. There's that.
It seems like it would be overdue. Mm-hmm. You have something that's 20 years old and the fountains are magnificent and still really impressive.
Yeah. But it's like, how do you keep them relevant without losing their classic appeal?
That's exactly it. I don't have a problem with them introducing this type of technology, and because it is really cool, it's really interesting. I don't think it loses anything by adding this.
Yeah.
And my feeling is, if you can add something like this to it and have it stay relevant for another 20 years.
Yes, then I'm on board.
It keeps it interesting for me. And it doesn't become another Caesar's Palace animatronic, you know, Bacchus and Race for Atlantis and all that shit.
Yeah.
Where it's just cheesy and outdated. I think that would be harder to do with the fountains just because they are so magnificent. Mm-hmm. But still, you do, for people who go there often, when was the last time we stopped and actually watched the fountains?
I don't know, but I want to see the Lady Gaga one.
Well, so that's the thing. Now, with something like that where they introduce a new show, if it's something you like, you're going to stop. The other area I wanted to discuss a little bit is the idea of doing short-term shows like this where it's only up for a couple weeks. This isn't the first time they've done this. During the holidays, they have special Christmas songs. I think that might be a good direction. Maybe a little bit longer than your 2 to 3 week span. Maybe have it be a month, 6 weeks or 8 weeks, if you can. But it seems like it's another way to keep things interesting.
Yeah.
And if you see something like this online, you're like, holy shit, that's really cool. I happen to be going to Vegas in 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to see it.
Yeah.
Now, there actually have been instances on the Facebook group where some people are bummed out because they really want to see it and it's closing 3 days before they go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, that's going to happen whenever they end it. But having it be a little bit longer run, but maybe a temporary thing, is another way to keep people coming back. And also to keep it, from MGM's perspective, to keep it in the news.
Yeah, yeah.
It reminds me a little bit, that concept reminds me of what they do at the conservatory at Bellagio.
Mm-hmm.
Every season they have something new.
Yeah.
And it keeps it interesting. And you do see people posting on the message boards and stuff when the new thing opens mm-hmm. up, the new display.
And they use similar themes, like Thanksgiving is...
Yeah, they have a handful of concepts, yeah. But they usually change it up a little bit, and they've mm-hmm. you know, they've gotten rid of some of the old ones and they've rolled in new ones, so
yeah,
they keep it pretty fresh. And I like that concept for mm-hmm. the fountains as well.
I just don't want them to do something like Treasure Island, where they took something,
the pirate show,
yes,
and make it really, really hokey and cheesy.
Uh huh.
Yeah, no, there's definitely, whenever you make big changes, there's a line to walk there.
Yeah.
But I think you can incorporate some of this stuff without bastardizing it in any way. You mm-hmm. continue to have the classic shows that run every 15 minutes, but then twice a night you have something that's just...
Yeah.
By the way, at 9 o'clock we have our special presentation of this temporary show that's mm-hmm. only going to be around for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
I'd like to see them do more of that and that incorporate the projection stuff more often. Mm-hmm. Not entirely. You know, you can do a mix of the classic shows and some new ones. So I don't know if any of this stuff will happen, but that's what I was thinking as I watched the Game of Thrones thing. And I have no interest in Game of Thrones at all. There are a few shows I'd rather... Well, that's not true. There are a lot of shows I'd rather watch less, mm-hmm. but I have absolutely no interest in it. And yet the Fountain Plus, show was pretty damn cool.
Minus, they have dragons. Plus, they have boobs.
Yeah, but I know. But you can see boobs anywhere. That's not a big deal.
Yeah.
So there you go. And that's a good way to summarize it. You can see boobs anywhere.
Anywhere.
All right. So there you go. All right. Let's do this. Do you
remember? I don't remember fucking anything, man.
Does that guy sound a little bit like Mikey, but stoned? Anyway, this is our segment where we look back at something from the olden days of Las Vegas, meaning like 12 years ago or...
Mm-hmm.
During the span of this podcast, how long have we been doing this fucker?
Is it 14 years?
Shit, man. We're old.
Yeah.
All right. Since we were talking a little bit about commercial and corporate tie-ins, I thought I'd pull one out from that had that angle. I went way back to show number 53 from January 2006. This was a struggle because the show notes from that era are in a different software program that mm-hmm. no longer exists and that I can't open. So I had to go through... I had to jump through great hoops to access this information. way back in 2006, General Motors announced it would be opening a test drive attraction at Sahara called The Drive. Do you remember this at all?
Barely.
They put in two test tracks behind Sahara. One of them was a high-performance small oval track, and the other one was an off-road track. And it opened in April of 2006, and for $10, you could go to this thing and test drive any number of cars. So they had like a Corvette and a Pontiac GTO and a Saab 9.3, a couple Hummers, an Escalade, Silverado, and a bunch of other models from the GM line. And the whole novel part is like with the Hummers, you'd be able to drive them on a test track that you're not normally going to be able to access at mm-hmm. your local dealership. It was based on something they had toured at several auto shows and was successful. So they decided to make it a semi-permanent attraction in Las Vegas. It lasted about half a year.
Emphasis on the semi, not so much on the permanent.
Yeah, it closed at the end of 2006, as we reported in show number 96 in December of that year. And that was it. So interesting concept. Didn't mm-hmm. last, probably because paying $10 to test drive a car. I get it, maybe, yeah. If you're doing like a high-performance vehicle on a high-speed track.
If it were something more unique, maybe, but...
Yeah.
Like, you can go down to your local Cadillac dealer and probably get a test drive.
Right. Yeah, the off-road track would be the part that would probably be interesting to the most mm-hmm. people, but I guess it did not last that long, so it wasn't too successful. But that was a venture into corporate tie-in on the Las Vegas Strip that was attempted and ultimately failed. I think I vaguely remember... Is that when I had the idea of a one of my many million-dollar Las Vegas ideas of having a driving simulation booth in Las Vegas that you could pay to go in when you're hammered?
Oh, maybe.
Seems like that would be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Although it could teach people that they're good drivers when they're drunk, which would be a bad thing.
That would be very bad.
But I still stand by that. I think that'd be a fun attraction to have. Mm-hmm. You know, it wouldn't have to be just in Las Vegas, although that's you've got your audience there. You could put it in any sports bar.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to franchise this idea. I'm going to run with this. In every cold pizza franchise, we will have the drunk driving simulator.
Okay.
It'll be a wonderful thing.
Can you also have a thing where you watch people take field sobriety tests?
You just turn on TV. It's live PD. It's on every week. We're going to watch it in, well, it's on right now. We'll watch it later.
Okay. Back to the Cadillac thing. Yeah. I mean, can you just walk up and test drive a Cadillac? Or are they like, we need a deposit? Cause
no, I did it when I was looking at cars less. Yeah, Cadillacs aren't that big of a deal.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm sure there are probably some like high performance cars. Cadillacs are not one of them.
Yeah.
It's funny, we're in the Midwest, so Cadillacs are
like considered high end.
Yeah, all the old, well, they are, but I mean, all the like that was the
like if you go to Chicago and you see like somebody driving a Bentley,
right?
Yeah,
there you go.
I mean, you see them very rarely here, but
Cadillacs?
No, Bentleys. Oh. Like I've seen a couple, but not like.
Yeah, I'm sure that there's some super high end cars, but yeah, it's not a problem to go to a Cadillac dealer. They tried to fucking talk me out of whatever I was looking at.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know if they didn't think I was suitable for their car or what, but...
You don't look like you have very good credit. Yeah, let's just not even bother with this.
Boy, they got that one wrong. The one I test drove, I didn't really like anyway, but...
Yeah.
So back to Buick it was for me. Good decision. All right. There you go. So that's Hey, Remember This. I hope people are enjoying this as I'm putting actual effort into the show. We're not going to do any phone calls this week, but we'll get back to them next week if that's cool. Yeah. And even if it's not, we're still going to come back to him next week. So, But before we go, we have some karma donations to thank some people for, including Kevin and Kay heading to Vegas whenever the day after they sent this. I don't know when this was sent for a week of Vegas-y goodness. They said the karma donation has not let them down yet, and they thanked us for a great podcast.
Oh, yay.
Thank you so much. Luck. We do appreciate your generosity. Our friends Jim and Mary, Vegas trip for April for 9 nights. That's a nice long one. That would be too much Vegas for me, but... Mm-hmm. South Point for the first time, Downtown Grand and Mirage playing a slot tournament at the D. Jim thinks Mary's going to win, and he's okay with that.
And so am I.
Good luck. I hope you do.
Yeah.
Mike with the Karma donation heading out on the 12th through the 16th for an annual guys trip, 9 of them, staying at Planet Hollywood and Cosmo. They said thank you for all you're doing, an amazing podcast.
Thank you.
People are so nice. Thank you. Glenn with the Karma donation. Thank you, sir. And finally, AJ. I have no idea what this means. This is like typical guy trip stuff where you're like, this means something to all the people that are going.
Mm-hmm.
In honor of Gundy's Bachelor Party, version 15, the Palmer remix.
Is he with Mike's group?
I don't know.
Because Mike said there were 9 of them staying at Planet Hollywood and Cosmo, and this guy says 9 strong at Planet Hollywood and Cosmo as well.
Oh, I bet
same
it is.
Same dates.
Cool. All right. Well, I guess there you go. It would be weird if it was 2 different groups and they were that identical.
Yeah.
And what if they had like a Jets and Sharks fucking
bachelor party throwdown?
Yeah, in the middle of Cosmo. I hope that doesn't happen. That'd be horrible. But if it does, Periscope it. This is an annual trip this year with... Although, wait. So, no, this is going to bother me. Oh, what? It is annual trip. Bachelor party part... I don't know what the fuck any of this means. Okay. Anyway, annual trip this year, 9 strong, Planet on the same dates. Time for some Heart Bar and Cosmo Sports Book Bar Royals. I hope you guys all hit Royals.
So.
I hope you don't have any throwdowns with other bachelor party groups of 9 that happen to be there at the same time. That would be weird. I hope you have a wonderful time, and I thank you for your generosity.
Mm-hmm. Good luck to everyone.
Right on. Even though your description confused me.
Maybe it started out as a bachelor party, and then it became an annual thing.
And now they've done it 15 times in a row?
Yep.
All right. Let's accept that. All right. What else? Got anything else before we go? Cutting it a little short because I'm just fucking fried from these allergies, but I think we're going to be back with another show next week. That's my plan. We have to be. We're giving away $100.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So tune in then. 500bymidnight.com is the website. 500@gmail.com is the place to send Dear Tim and Michelle questions. You can find us on Twitter. I am 500. She is Anita Martini. And of course, our voicemail line is available to you anytime, day or night at 702-866-9494. As always, thank you for listening, emailing, commenting, and calling. We do appreciate it, and we will talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.